T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome back to Overnight America. We're going to be here up until 1 o'clock. And this is where we had Kristen Arnold scheduled. She's a rules analyst. And what she does is help moderators and debates, things like that. She's an expert when it comes to moderating. I almost said moderation. But I wanted to get her take on how the committee handled it tonight. How did Susan Page do? She also normally has a breakdown. How many minutes did each of them have on screen? How many interruptions? Things like that. To kind of get a little analysis of how the night flowed. Who got the most questions? Who had their most rebuttals? Things like that. So when we get a hold of her, I'm hoping we do. We're going to get her on the show, but I wanted to start the hour too, and we'll do this real quick while we're trying to reach Kristen. There's a few moments from the debate tonight that I recorded and I had them saved. What I found is a whole different story from the first presidential debate, just in the way I recorded these clips. So before, you had a bunch of small clips. You had Donald Trump and Joe Biden saying things in small chunks. They are running for president. They understand that when it comes to things being regurgitated the next day, that you got to get things in a timely fashion. These, you know, 2-3 minute long rants don't make it to the newscasts, but a 10 second to 20 second clip will. So you want to make sure you get your message out as quick as possible. It's kind of the Twitter method. Twitter's kind of capitalized on the idea that you have to get your message through in just a short amount of characters, as opposed to a giant encyclopedia of thoughts. And that is how it should work too. So on the vice presidential debate, no real chunks. It seemed like there was just a lot of long, drawn-out answers, mostly because they didn't interrupt each other as much as we saw in the first debate. So let's go through some of those moments. And if you want to call in, you can. We could just take your calls. Why not? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. One of the big questions was on packing the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court came up because of the idea of Roe v. Wade. And whenever there's an election, abortion always is one of the main topics. It's always, oh, if you vote for my opponent, you're going to lose your right to have an abortion. Or if you vote for my opponent, you're going to, you know, it's always like the same things over and over again. So we know that this is a rallying cry, gets a lot of people motivated to vote a certain party or a certain person. So they started off asking Mike Pence about the Roe v. Wade. So let's say if it was overturned, what he would advise Indiana to do if he were still the governor of Indiana, you know, something like that. But it ended up being a discussion on the Supreme Court, and he shifted the answer based on, hey, we got a potential candidate that could be filling an open seat, and we also have Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, who won't answer the question if they're going to stack the court or not if they become in power. So now you have a double whammy thing for Republicans, mostly because at first you can say, hey, she is one of the most abortion-friendly politicians you've ever seen. So Republicans, you better get out there and vote for Donald Trump if you value life and if you are pro-life. And then you get to add on top of this something a little bit different, which is even if you vote for her, not only will you lose the ability for Roe v. Wade to be overturned or at least go back into the state issues, but on top of that, they're going to pack the Supreme Court and you're going to have zero chance of it ever being looked at. Plus, think of all the other incredibly liberal policies that could make their way to the Supreme Court and challenged, like we saw during the Obama administration. Now imagine that they have five more justices on the seat. You're going to lose anything that ever comes to the Supreme Court, because all they're going to do is put in activists onto the Supreme Court. So now the Republicans, it's like a double thing for them. It's a double-edged sword. Both of them are attacking the Democrats, because on both of those fronts, it's a lose-lose situation if you vote the other way. I think a lot of times, if you're really on the fence, and sometimes the candidates, the Joe Bidens, I'm going to appeal to the Republicans that haven't decided yet. Donald Trump's the worst human being ever. You know, he's worse than Hitler. You know, they go on, they say all of these different things. So there's no shame in voting for me, a Democrat, you know. And then they like to say, so-and-so, he's been a Republican all their lives. He voted for Eisenhower, and now they're going to go out there and they're going to vote for me. It goes to show you that, you know, the tide is turning. Republicans are done with Donald Trump. Well, you're not going to be able to use that same sort of thing anymore when you have this very important idea that if anything does get challenged to the Supreme Court, it's a gone cause for you Republicans, because you're never going to win that one if they start stacking. And I think that's why you're finding it very difficult for Joe Biden and them to answer that question. Would they stack the court? And the answer is, yeah, they will. There's a reason why they don't want to say it out loud, because they realize that there's so much stigma around it, that it would make them instantly get a giant amount of outrage directed their way. So let's hear it directly pushed, and will they stack the court? So let's back up. Here's the question about the Supreme Court and Amy Coney Barrett.
You're the former governor of Indiana. If Roe v. Wade is overturned, what would you want Indiana to do? Would you want your home state to ban all abortions? You have 2 minutes, uninterrupted.
Well, thank you for the question, but I'll use a little bit of my time to respond to that very important issue before. The American people deserve to know Qasem Soleimani, the Iranian general, was responsible for the death of hundreds of American service members. When the opportunity came, we saw him headed to Baghdad to kill more Americans. President Trump didn't hesitate, and Qasem Soleimani is gone. But you deserve to know that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris actually criticized the decision to take out Qasem Soleimani. It's really inexplicable, but with regard to Joe Biden, it's explainable. Because history records that Joe Biden actually opposed the raid against Osama bin Laden. It's absolutely essential that we have a commander-in-chief who will not hesitate to act to protect American lives and to protect American service members, and that's what you have in President Donald Trump. Now, with regard to the Supreme Court of the United States, let me say President Trump and I could not be more enthusiastic about the opportunity to see Judge Amy Coney Barrett become Justice Amy Coney Barrett. Now, she's a brilliant woman, and she will bring a lifetime of experience and a sizable American family to the Supreme Court of the United States. And our hope is, in the hearing next week, unlike Justice Kavanaugh received with treatment from you and others, we hope she gets a fair hearing. And we particularly hope that we don't see the kind of attacks on her Christian faith that we saw before. I mean, the Democrat chairman of the Judiciary Committee before, when Judge Barrett was being confirmed for the Court of Appeals, expressed concern that the dogma of her faith lived loudly in her. Dick Durbin of Illinois said that it was a concern. Senator, I know one of our judicial nominees, you actually attacked because they were a member of the Catholic Knights of Columbus, just because the Knights of Columbus holds pro-life views and
thank you, views. Thank you, Vice President Pence.
So
your
my
time
hope is
up.
That when the hearing takes place, that
thank you, Vice President Pence,
that Judge Amy Coney Barrett will be respected,
thank
treated
you, Vice
respectfully,
President Pence.
Voted and confirmed
thank
to
you.
The Supreme Court of the United
Senator
States.
Senator Harris.
All right, so I wanted to point out the way that the moderator jumped in there. So let me point this out.
American people deserve.
You have 2 minutes uninterrupted.
Well, thank
all right, so where was the 2 minute mark? So did that actually hit the 2 minute mark? Yes, it went 2 minutes and 14 seconds is the entire thing. So here's part of the thing. Going out and trying to, I guess, step over the answers for going 15 seconds over. A lot of people looked at that and said, oh, look at Mike Pence is so disrespectful for doing that. 15 seconds over seems like the most mild step over of questions. I mean, considering some of the other presidential debates we've had, was that really necessary to step in so many different times? That'll be a great question for Kristen Arnold. We're going to talk to her right after the break, because I want to know how she thinks this went when it came to the moderators. In this case, the moderator, I should say. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
Fly me to the moon.
let me play.
And welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and joining us is someone that I enjoy hearing from. After the debates, she analyzes and crunches the numbers. She's a rules analyst at rulesanalyst.com. Kristen Arnold, how are you tonight?
Hey, Ryan Recker, how are you?
Very good. This is a much different debate than what we saw last time around. Much different debate. So I'm guessing the numbers will also reflect that based on interruptions and time on screen such. How do you think Susan Page, who was the moderator, handled things tonight?
Well, the only thing that was really in common was a lot of interruptions, but it was an interruption in the other direction. But, you know, it's kind of interesting.
What do you mean by that, interruption in the other direction?
I think Susan Page, as a moderator, you have this like initial answer to the question. So everybody had 2 minutes uninterrupted time, and she was very specific. You have 2 minutes of uninterrupted time, which, mm-hmm. for the most part, the candidates kind of followed. They might have gone a little bit over time. Mm-hmm. But she was very, very heavy-handed about interrupting Mike Pence to remind him that he was over time. So she actually interrupted him. He had a total of 32 interruptions, and Kamala Harris had only 13 interruptions.
Okay.
Just kind of interesting. There was a lot of interruptions, as there were interruptions last week. Mm-hmm. But they weren't from the moderator as much.
Yeah, that's interesting. So the numbers you're saying, so 32 of the interruptions includes the talk over between Pence and Page?
Uh-huh.
Oh, interesting. Well, that's why the number's so high. And it's a lot different. You're right. But when we start to watch this one, a lot of people were also pointing out on social media that Mike Pence was constantly talking over Kamala Harris. They were very upset because they said, you know, it's sexist for him to do something along those lines. Do you think he was out of bounds? Do you think that just based on the natural flow of a debate that he went too far?
Well, there were no rules. There were no rules for this quote-unquote deeper discussion. So Kamala Harris, God bless her, you know, she stood her ground and said, you know, basically, this is my time. Please don't interrupt me. I'm speaking. Talk to the hand. But really, there was no ground rules about that deeper discussion, whether she actually had that ground to call it. Mm-hmm. So I think that both were coming at it from a very different perspective, and moderator Page did not clarify that.
Ah, I see. So I don't know if she's hosted too many debates in the past. She's kind of new to me. I don't remember her doing that sort of thing. So the way that they spread it out, and I think she tried to lay down the law many different times where Pence would give his 2 minutes and then she would say, your time is up. But every, like, it seemed like 3 or 4 seconds after Pence was like completing the statement, she would also continue to remind him that he's up. You know, from past debates, I remember candidates talking over 10 to 15 seconds, it not being that big of a deal. But tonight, it seemed like that was like the biggest deal ever.
Well, it was a big deal because she was overcompensating for last week.
So, I mean,
I can kind of understand it. But she's talking about two very, very different personalities. Even the staging was different. They were both seated versus standing up at a lectern. Mm. There is these two big plexiglass shields between the two of them. I mean, it just had a very different feel. Even on the monitors, I was watching it on television, and at all times we were watching a split screen. It never went just to one candidate. It was always split screen, or it went to the moderator, which is the first time I've ever seen that, Ryan.
I wonder, too, about that. And it is a little bit different. And joining us here is Kristen Arnold, rulesanalyst.com. You can look him up online on Facebook. I should say Twitter. I see a lot of your posts on Twitter, too. You do a great job with that. So you have Susan Page, who steps in, and she starts to, you know, try to keep things on track. And at the very end of the debate, she said, I'm out of questions, which was like right at the time this ended, which I thought, oh, that's kind of weird for a moderator to say, I'm out of things to talk about, so let's wrap this up. Because normally it's like it seems like they're trying to jam as much as they can in there. So is that a good sign that they got it done on time, or is that just a little bit weird to admit that, hey, I think we're going to wrap up here because I'm out of questions?
Well, I didn't interpret it that way, Ryan.
No.
I interpret it, and she was doing a barrage of questions. So there really wasn't a whole lot of debating going on. But I think what she was basically saying is, I am done with my questions, and I'm going to have this final question. I think she had that planned by Brooklyn Brown, I believe. And I think that that's what she was saying. I don't think she ran out of questions.
Oh, okay. How did you feel the quality of questions? What did you think of the ones she decided to ask? And do you feel that they were fair between the two candidates when it came to asking tough questions?
Well, I think she tried to provide a counterbalance. I think there were a couple of freebies in there that I just kind of went, okay, there's a softy. The thing that bothered me, Ryan, was she never made anybody answer them. Like, you could answer them or you could go off into left field. Oh, no, I don't want to answer that one. I'm going to respond to the question before because you didn't give me rebuttal time. I'm going to pivot and answer some other question. And she never really followed up. I mean, it was the most bizarre thing.
You're right, and I don't know if any of the candidates ever answered any questions. They just kind of, they knew what they wanted to say and do, so they kind of stuck to that. It was kind of in the ballpark sometimes, but, you know, for example, I'm trying to remember one, and I played it there. They were talking about Roe v. Wade, and he went on to talk about, instead, the faith of those that they nominate to the Supreme Court instead, and then packing the court, so it had nothing to do with Roe v. Wade. And then, you know, talk about the Green New Deal, but then we're talking about taxes instead, or, you know, whatever it is. So one of the things I'm wondering, too, screen time. Did the two candidates get roughly the same amount of screen time, the time they had to answer questions, things like that, and did they get roughly the same amount of questions?
Well, what do you think, Ryan? I have the stats.
I feel that she was so much trying to keep the train on the tracks that it's going to be almost right down the middle. I feel that way. I think the only advantage that Mike Pence may have had is that he might have had the opportunity to rebut maybe one or two more times than Kamala Harris, but I feel like it's going to be even.
You are pretty good. I call it equitable. I'm not exactly sure it was fair. So equitable in that the number of questions that Harris got was 12. The number of questions that Pence got was 14.
Okay. Interesting.
Okay. So the speaking time, about the same amount of speaking time. So 35 and a half minutes for Harris and about 36 minutes and some change for Pence.
Pretty close. Yeah, that seems pretty close. So getting a couple of extra questions.
And interestingly enough, both of them went over time about the same amount. 16 times Kamala Harris, 18 times Mike Pence.
Okay. That seems about right. Yeah, when they agree on these things, so they have the committee that puts together these debates, and they kind of agree on the ground rules, and they understand that there's certain things that they can bend to their advantage going a little bit over time because they realize there's not a big penalty for going over it because they both agreed to it in a certain way. I'm guessing the same thing, too, when it came to the going over the time. They know the things they could bend and take advantage of a little bit and use it. And that's kind of what that number may indicate.
Well, I actually construed the rules a little bit further in that it sounded to me like it was 2 minutes and 2 minutes. I think that there was so when I started timing them after a bit, it seemed like Paige was allowing 1 minute for a discussion response. Mm-hmm. And then before she would start interrupting them, and then she would maybe give them 90 seconds for a candidate to respond if she asked for another question on that topic during the deeper discussion. Mm-hmm. So, and it was a pretty consistent pattern about when she was going to cut them off. So I think that was either something that there was a light system going on, or she had told them that's what she was kind of doing. She did not say anything to the audience as far as I know.
Mm-hmm. But so overall, how would you grade Susan Page if you were to give an A through F grade her ability to moderate the vice presidential debate?
You know, I'd give her a B minus.
Okay. B minus, not too bad.
I mean,
I
think she did a pretty decent job. I just wish there was more of a debate going on.
Yeah. I never asked you for your grade for Chris Wallace last week. in comparison, how would you give Chris Wallace?
You already know my opinion on that one.
Yeah, so it would be considerably lower. All right. B minus for Susan Page. Not too bad. Who's our next moderators, by the way, if we end up having a presidential debate next week? Do you know?
I think it's Scully.
Oh, interesting.
Wait,
I wonder if we're going to have this one, because I'm more or less, I think, on the fence, because if the president still is testing positive for COVID, I cannot foresee them doing a debate. So I just wonder if that's going to happen next week. And we're talking about next Thursday. That's a pretty quick turnaround from all of this.
Well, you know, technically, I don't think they should, because he should still be in quarantine.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, when I came up to Canada, I had to quarantine for 14 days, and I didn't even have COVID. So, I think
standard,
a lot of people are like, really? They just announced that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Really?
That's what they said at the very end. They didn't really show any hesitation to point out a debate for next week. And I thought, well, maybe you might want to put a little bit of, caveat onto it to notice that there could be a delay or maybe a cancellation based on the health of one of the candidates. But, I don't know. Plus, I guess if you're the president, you have the ability to rapid test.
It's a town meeting.
There's going to be more
town meetings,
so there's people there. Oh, yeah. No, you can't do it then.
No. You could do this. You could do this, and it'll strike two birds with one stone. You could do this virtually, and then you've got more control over airtime.
I don't know. I think maybe you put them in, the Pope Mobile, so you have the candidates inside of, an enclosure or a big plexiglass ball, a room or a ball or whatever. I don't know. I feel like doing it over the internet or, type of a Zoom meeting or whatever, I just don't like the feel for that. It doesn't feel right. I feel like you have to at least do it in person or don't do it at all.
Hmm.
I wonder what's happening in,
high
schools.
Well, I don't know what
colleges.
They're going to do.
Yeah, if they still have debates or not. Well, Kristen Arnold, I always like the rundowns and the numbers of the debate, and who knows if we'll be talking next week, because if they have one or not, it's up in the air, I believe. It's not a guarantee at this point.
Exactly.
Well, if people wanted to look you up online, where can they find you?
Rulesanalyst.com.
Nice and easy. Kristen Arnold, hey, thank you so much for coming on to Overnight America tonight.
Thank you. Have a good one.
And she joins us on the Quiver River Electric guest line. We'll take a look at your weather. It's looking nice the next few days. And I do want to take your calls on this. So I've been holding off, and I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. What do you think of the vice presidential debate? What moments stand out? What things concern you? What things did you like? What things didn't you like? Just let me know. Let's do that next on Overnight America KMOX.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
News Radio 1120 KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
And all the girlies say I'm pretty fly for a white guy.
There's Fly. Wow. Again, producer Mike's having the time of his life finding songs with the word fly in it. Yeah, the takeaways of tonight. I think Rich Rubino summed it up because, yeah, we'll be talking about some things, probably remembering the fly because that's what social media is going crazy for. I think maybe the comments about stacking the court might be one of the more important or moments that will at least get airplay, and then a week from now we're not going to remember it because we'll be talking about the second presidential debate, and who knows if we even have it. So let's take some of your calls on this one. Kristen Arnold saying that Susan Page, the moderator tonight, gets a B- in terms of moderators. And I know that could be a controversial statement because not too many people, it seems, think highly of her. But Chris Wallace, whew, she didn't even want to give a grade for Chris Wallace. And that goes to show you something. Let's take a few of your calls and let's go to Mike. Welcome to Overnight America.
How you doing, Ryan?
Good.
I watched that debate real good, and I'm going to be very honest, and let's tell it like it is. That moderator and that guest you had on, Gabriel Guest, I'd give her an F. And I'm being totally honest. I'm going to tell you why. Uh-huh. And I'm being fair on both sides. Because you know how they're supposed to get equal time?
Uh-huh.
When it comes to Mike Pence's side, and he was a very good debater, they're both good debaters, he's very polite, and he is a born-again Christian. And when he had his two minutes, she kept interrupting him, and she constantly interrupted me. And to be honest, she didn't give him no 2 minutes. That one caller called in, he was 100% right. She was giving more time to Coroner Harris and ripping him off, and he's trying to answer. And I think it was totally unfair and disrespectful. And I actually think she was cheating. Maybe she was liberal, giving Carter Harris more time. Now, she did make some good points, shake her head and smile. I'll give her credit for smiling a lot. And Mike Pence even complimented her a few times and welcomed on her. But they did do him dirty because every time he tried to answer to 2 minutes, he interrupted him too many times. And when he tried to answer, she cut him off. I think it was very rude. And be honest, I think that was like stealing his time. And I think she was horrible.
Ah, that's some pretty strong comments there, Mike. Hey, thank you very much for calling in. You know what I should do is I have the Supreme Court answer, and I only played Mike Pence's version of it because we went to our guest, Kristen Arnold. How about I pick up where we were, and I'll see how many minutes that Kamala Harris had in it. But, yeah, apparently Mike does not like the moderator, Susan Page. Now, I will point out on social media, there's a lot of people that are trying to make kind of this, like, fake controversy or whatever. Oh, look at that. Mike Pence must hate women because he interrupted Susan Page. Oh, he interrupted Kamala Harris. Oh, look, he's such a hateful. He hates women. You know, they're doing all of this stuff, and, you know, they're trying to make this into something that it's not. And it just goes to show you just how stupid some people can be when it comes to criticisms when on a presidential debate. There's enough things to, you know, legitimately have grievances over, and there's enough things that you could actually point out as problems. And to say that, oh, look at Mike Pence. Oh, look at that, just talking all over a woman. That's such a man thing to do. Such a stupid, dumb, idiotic thing to bring up if that's all you saw. All right, so let me continue from the where we left off before, because I wanted to play just a little bit here of Kamala Harris's answer, because, yeah, we know that in the past, these Supreme Court justices, the nominees, normally their faith come into question, and normally it comes into question because people are worried on how they'll vote for, you know, if there's a challenge to Roe v. Wade or something unique in that sense. So they try to figure it out and they try to count and say, well, that's why you can't put in someone that's a nominee from a Republican, because they'll just put a pro-life person on or whatever it is. So here is the answer to that. Kamala Harris, when confronted to it.
Harris, you're the senator from and former attorney general of California. So let me ask you a parallel question to the one I posed to the vice president. If Roe v. Wade is overturned, what would you want California to do? Would you want your home state to enact no restrictions on access to abortion? And you have 2 minutes uninterrupted.
Thank you, Susan. First of all, Joe Biden and I are both people of faith, and it's insulting to suggest that we would knock anyone for their faith. And in fact, Joe, if elected, will be only the second practicing Catholic as president of the United States. On the issue of this nomination, Joe and I are very clear, as are the majority of the American people. We are 27 days before the decision about who will be the next president of the United States. And, you know, before, when this conversation has come up, you know, it's been about election year or election time. We're literally in an election.
Oh,
over 4 million people have voted. People are in the process of voting right now. And so Joe...
By the way, I still don't understand how you can be devout Catholics and also be for abortion. I don't understand that one bit. So when you have a Joe Biden and Kamala Harris stand up and they say, oh, you know, we don't question people's faiths or whatever, and, you know, we're both practicing, and Joe Biden would be the second. But, you know, when it comes to things like abortion, whatever. I don't get that. I don't know how you can put that precursor on there, because either faith matters to you or not. So I just don't get that. So I'm sorry. See, I don't have to abide by the rules of the debate. I can interrupt.
It's been very clear, as the American people are. Let the American people fill that seat in the White House, and then we'll fill that seat on the United States Supreme Court. And to your point, Susan, the issues before us couldn't be more serious. There's the issue of choice, and I will always fight for a woman's right to make a decision about her own body. It should be her decision and not that of Donald Trump and the vice president, Michael Pence. But let's also look at what else is before the court. It's the Affordable Care Act. Like, literally, in the midst of a public health pandemic, when over 210,000 people have died and 7 million people probably have what will be in the future considered a pre-existing condition because you contracted the virus. Donald Trump is in court right now trying to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. And I said it before, and it bears repeating. This means that there will be no more protections if they win for people with pre-existing conditions. No. This means that over 20 million people will lose your coverage. It means that if you're under the age of 26, you can't stay on your parents' coverage anymore. And here's the thing. The contrast couldn't be more clear. They're trying to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. Biden is saying, let's expand coverage. Let's give you a choice of a public option or private coverage. Let's bring down premiums.
Thank you, Senator
Let's
Harris.
Lower Medicare eligibility to 60.
Thank you, Senator
That's true
Harris.
Leadership.
All right, so let me point out, she was given 2 minutes and 11 seconds. Mike Pence was given, let's see, 2 minutes. Yeah, so that's part of the problem. He was immediately at 2 minutes, she would step in and she would say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Not even that. I mean, let's see. Let me double check this.
Uninterrupted.
Well, thank you for the question.
All right. So if that was the start, I'm going to, because I can time it on my software here. All right. So she got 2 minutes and 1 second for Mike Pence to answer the question. And then when she stepped in.
Thank you, Vice President Pence.
So
your time is up.
My hope is that when the hearing takes place.
Thank you, Vice President Pence.
That Judge Amy Coney Barrett will be respected.
Thank you, Vice President Pence.
Voted and confirmed to the Supreme Court of the United States.
Senator Harris, you're the senator.
So you had the moderator come in 5 times, not allow it to go over the time. So this is what happened. And that would have equaled out to 2 minutes and 15 seconds. Okay, maybe I'm putting this wrong. Okay, 2 minutes and 13 seconds. So Mike Pence went over by 12 seconds on that one and was interrupted by the moderator 5 times. Now, Kamala Harris was given 2 minutes and 10 seconds to answer, so an extra 10 seconds over Mike Pence. And let's see how many times she stepped in to try to get Kamala Harris to stop answering.
Saying, let's expand coverage. Let's give you a choice of a public
Thank
option
you,
or private coverage. Let's bring down premiums.
Thank you, Senator.
Let's
Harris.
Lower Medicare eligibility to 60.
Thank you, Senator.
That's true
Harris.
Leadership.
Three. Okay. So she gave 10 more seconds to Kamala Harris and interrupted three times while she was doing the runoff. She gave 10 seconds less to Mike Pence and then interrupted him five times after it, trying to get the same amount of time that she would have had anyway. So when you talk about these interruptions, and when social media goes crazy on this, they're all going to point out, oh, look at Mike Pence. Oh, he doesn't respect women. He steps over the female moderator, and he steps over Senator Harris. And, oh, look at him. He's just another one of those guys, right? So they try to paint this picture. But when you actually look at how it played out, it's absolutely not true. Not true at all. So we got to be honest with ourselves here. We can't listen to social media out there just throwing this stuff up into the wall and seeing what sticks, because you're going to lose that game when it comes to the trending wars. You're always going to have the far left that get the snappier trends, or they'll try to take control of these things, because mostly you find that the big tech companies are much more favorable to the left-wing ideology just based on the people that control those sort of things and what they allow and what they don't allow. You're never going to win that war. But if you want to look at this from like a real standpoint and you're trying to look at this genuinely, you got to take these things into consideration where you can actually count the amount of times, you can actually look at how much time was on there, and you can make these assumptions for yourself. And observations for yourself. So we're going to take some more of your calls. I'm running late here. Elvis, don't go anywhere. We'll get your call right after. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. Michaelsflooringoutlet.com on KMOX.
I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly.
That is so funny. Welcome back to Overnight America. Again, I have no idea what songs producer Mike will be playing, but he has picked some phenomenal music tonight. All right, welcome back to Overnight America. Let's go straight to the phones and take some of your calls on the vice presidential debate. Elvis has been holding on. Welcome in. How are you?
Well, fella, first of all, I told my friend that answered the phone down there that I've wanted to offer a congratulations on you and your little daughter.
Oh, thank you. She is 6 weeks now? Wow, seven almost. It's going by quick.
Well, I was going to say, they grow fast, believe me.
Yeah, I know. It's okay. Growing fast. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. I was going to say, I try to look at this as not just as a Democrat, this vice president's debate, not just a Republican, but as more towards like a historian type. And I wish you could go back and get previous vice presidents in the past that, could have done this up until 1976 when Mondale and Bob Dole debated in the 76 Carter-Mondale Ford-Dole election. And what I'm trying to get at is you have to look at in the vice president, in my personal opinion, is this person that you're looking at on your screen that's telling you what either you want to hear or you don't want to hear, is this person right now good enough or strong enough or, educated enough to be our next president if something, God forbid, was to happen to either Mr. Trump or a sitting president?
Yeah. They asked that tonight, so you probably heard that, and neither of them answered it.
Yes, and I mean, like I said, I try to watch all this. I guess you call me a geek. I don't know what else to call me, but
I
enjoy this.
That's like Richard Bino, Polita-Geek is his website, so yeah. Real quick, Elvis, I totally understand that. If I remember correctly, do you have the memory where I can give you a date and you can tell me what day of the week it was?
Try it.
Is that you?
Yeah, possibly.
Okay.
Seriously.
Let's say October 7th, 1981. What day of the week was that?
October 7th, 1981. Well, without having some sort of a visual aid from either a 1980 or a 1982 calendar, I can't come up with that.
Oh, Elvis, I'm sorry. I'm probably mistaking you for someone else. There's another person that calls in, and they know that. They know, like, every date of the day, and it's amazing. Well, I'm mistaking you with someone else. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have put you on the spot.
No. No apologies, but I will say this before I hang up.
Yeah.
Now, in 1976, I won't say my whole birth date, but I was born on a Saturday in December of 76. Mm-hmm. And I know that for a fact.
It's a good year, 1976. All right, hey, thank you very much, Elvis. Good to hear from you. Tyrone calling in. Welcome to Overnight America.
Well, thanks for putting me on.
Sure.
You know, I don't know how Biden and her,
Kamala,
I don't know how they can, I don't know how they can say that, that they're people of faith and that they're Catholic, and yet they believe it's a woman's right, a woman's choice. How can you, you know, you can't cut it both ways. You can only cut it one way under religion. You either believe in the Bible or you don't, you know. And I'm not a religious person by any stretch, but I'm smart enough to know if you're a Catholic or a Christian or a Protestant, you know, abortion and LGBT and all this and homosexual marriage, this is all wrong. There's no two ways about it. How can you call yourself a Catholic but yet believe that's right? I don't get it.
Yeah, and it's a tough situation because there's so many people that live in iniquity in the sense that they know it's wrong, but they go with it anyway. And when it comes to politics, I don't think you can go out there and profess that this is a selling point for you, as in, oh, you'll be the second Catholic in office, and we're strong with our faith. And then at the same time, you take something that is obviously against God's will when it comes to abortion, and then go out there and profess also the same thing, that it's not a big deal that you're against it, or you're going to vote against it, or whatever it is. When you go and look at also the records, I mean, they are farthest from pro-life when it comes to any of these issues. And you look at Donald Trump, it's the exact opposite. He's probably the strongest pro-life candidate that's ever been in office. I mean, he's the only one that's been to the pro-life rally in Washington, D.C. and spoke and whatnot. But Tyrone, thank you very much for your call. It's good to hear from you. I think it is alarming for a lot of different people. Not to say we don't have our own things, but that's a pretty big one. Another hour coming up of Overnight America, KMOX. Don't go.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.